One day, Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready, get ready.
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
And good afternoon, everybody. Happy Sunday. My name is Pastor Jeff Greider, and I would like to welcome you today to this NTEB House Church Sunday service, and we're so very glad that you're here with us. If you want Holy Spirit revival, the preaching of God's Word must be the main focus. For the past several weeks, we have done multiple articles and podcasts on things concerning and surrounding the Asbury Revival and the Jesus Revolution movie. And we would encourage you to go back and read some of those articles and listen to the broadcasts, as they are quite eye-opening. Today, I want to talk to you for just a little while on what brings true Holy Spirit revival from the Lord. And as always, your King James Bible has the answer. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Nearly all true revivals over the past several hundred years have been traced back to one or more people praying for God to move, but when revival came, the preaching and teaching of the Word of God took the preeminent position. Yes, those revivals, they had music, they had singing, but that was not the main focus. Yes, those revivals were bathed in prayer as the planning committee sprang into action, but when the people arrived, it was time to preach God's preserved Word. True revival does not have primarily a unifying effect. It has a dividing effect. It first separates the people getting saved from the world and worldly pleasures, and then unifies them based on the truth of God's Word. We here at NTEB have been blessed with revival over the past several years. A revival based on the preaching of God's Word from the King James Bible. Today, on today's Sunday service, I want to show you from that Bible how you can have true Holy Spirit revival in your life starting today. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered here, and the chat room is filling up and just people listening across America and around the world. And we thank you. We praise you, God. And we commit this time to you. We ask you to work and move, Lord, as only you can. And Father God, just meet with us here today and give us something from your word that will draw us closer to you and will change us for your glory, for our good. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome, everybody. Glad that you're here today. Looking for a good time around God's Word. And at the end, we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper together as a church family.
The Bible says my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah!
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my arm, oh, cry, singing wild on earth. Let me at thy throne of mercy. Would you let me at the throne of mercy find a sweet relief? Would you find willing, kneeling there in deep contrition, kneeling, come on, kneeling there, deep contrition. Would you help? Help my heart believe. We're calling you, say. Oh, say. Oh, hear my humble. Oh, why takes me back. Can we say it again? We're calling you, say. Oh, say. Oh, have mercy. Oh, yeah. Oh, do not pay me back. One more time. We're calling you, say. Oh, say.
Just tuning in, we'd like to welcome you to the NTEB House Church Sunday service. So very, very glad that you're here. Today, my message will be on the necessity of preaching the Word of God if you want revival. The law of first mention shows us that the word preach in your King James Bible appears 50 times in 47 different verses. The very first time the word preach appears, it's in Nehemiah 6, verse 7. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. And now shall it be reported to the king according to these words, come now therefore, and let us take counsel together. So the very first time in your King James Bible that the word preach appears, the subject of the message is, there is a king in Judah. The second time that the word preach appears, it's in direct reference to that king, Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And so we understand that God loves Bible preaching. Matthew 4:17. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And back in those days, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God was standing right before them, because Jesus Christ is the king of both kingdoms. Now, you get to the New Testament, and Paul says this, 2 Corinthians 4:5. "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake." Paul warns in Galatians 1:8, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." He says in, what's that verse that I'm looking for? Not 2 Timothy 4:2. That's my text for the day. Colossians 1:28, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus Christ." Now, Paul says this. He says that the preaching of the cross, it's foolishness. Who is it foolishness to? Well, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to lost people, absolutely. It's also kind of foolishness to lukewarm Laodicean people as well. 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." And then three verses later, in 1 Corinthians 1:21, Paul amplifies that, and he says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Now, you want revival? I want revival. We all want to see revival. Let me tell you something. We have had revival here since the early days of 2020. And that revival lasted all through 2020, 2021, 2022. And here we are on March 3rd of 2023. And that revival fire that God sparked here at Now the End Begins, going all the way back, and I'm kind of getting into my message, but going all the way back to that New Year's Eve of 2019 going into 2020, and God said to me, "Would you be willing to commit to this ministry full time?" And I wrestled for a little bit, and I said, "Yes, Lord, I do. I will. I'll be happy to do that." And little did I know that God was going to send revival to Now the End Begins, and our free Bible program, our Bibles Behind Bars program, our Gospel Witness Billboard program, the bookstore, all the camp meeting, all of these things are testimony and testament to the fact that God has given us and is giving us the spirit of revival. But I get emails every single week. People write to me and they say, "Hey, I really like your website, but if you could just stop preaching so much about that King James Bible, that would be really, really good. If you could just stop preaching so much about that pre-tribulation rapture of the church." Now, a listener by the name of Roxanne Burton, she sent me this graphic yesterday. And there is a ministry on YouTube, Watchmen something or other, and they don't get very many listeners, and it looks like they're trying to create a controversy by dragging us into the mix to try to get people to listen. But I want to show you the graphic that Roxanne sent to me yesterday, and That's a graphic from this ministry, Watchmen, whatever. And look at that graphic. Flight 777 for the deceived. And this guy is claiming that anybody who preaches or teaches the pre-tribulation rapture of the church is deceived by Satan. And in his video, he takes that great picture of our Flight 777 billboard from 2021. And he says that that is a sign that we are deceived by Satan. And I find that highly ironic in light of passages like 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and chapter 3, that the rapture is one of the things that precedes the revelation of the Antichrist. You got to have the rapture first. So people have asked me and continue to ask me all the time, you know, I like listening to your broadcasts, but could you just pray a little bit less? Nope, can't do that. I really like listening to your Bible study teachings, but you play too much music and it's that old stuff. If you could just play less of those old songs. Nope, can't do that. And we stand on the King James Bible. We preach and teach from God's preserved word. And we have done that for the last 14 years. And for the last 3 years, God has been blessing us with real Holy Spirit revival. And I am glad for that. And I give him all the honor and the glory and the praise for that. And at our camp meeting this year, we are going to celebrate that at the camp meeting, which is almost sold out, by the way. If you want to register, you really need to register soon. But today, and I said all that to say this, today I want to preach a message on what brings revival. Now, the easy answer, the short answer is the Holy Spirit brings revival, and that's absolutely true. But is there anything that we can do that might get the Holy Spirit's attention, that might get God's attention to give us revival? And the longer answer, which is going to make up the bulk of my message today, the longer answer is yes. This is why we pray. This is why we sing the songs of Zion. This is why we stick to that book. I'm not talking just the Bible. I'm talking the book. Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power. And who shall say unto him, what doest thou? And we are standing on that word, not just standing on the promises. I like that song. But we are standing on the word of God, the preserved word of God in that dusty old Elizabethan English archaic dime store King James Bible. And we're glad that you're here today.
In sin I was living, no thought was I giving of dying and where I would go. I was looking and buying, so hard was I trying to gain all this world had to hold. No peace and no pleasure could I even measure with all that I had to gain. I repented and prayed, Christ save me that day. Now I have got something to say. I'm not going to hell. I met the
Amen.
Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not
Amen.
Going
How about you?
To hell.
Where are you going? You better find out.
Now my life's worth living. Since I've been forgiven, Christ made a real change in me. I'm no longer crying. crying when I think about dying, 'cause heaven is waiting for me. Now Satan's still lying, he's always trying to lead you down the wrong way. Just call on Christ's name, he'll save you today. Then look back to Satan and say,
I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell.
No,
I'm not going to hell.
Because
I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell. Because I'm saved by His power divine.
Yes, I'm saved.
I'm saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved. And I'm not going to hell.
We're going to be getting started right after this song with our prayer and praise time. If you have a praise report or prayer request, please put it in.
Against the golden rule, try and hide our Christian heritage from the public eye,
but they'll never overcome God's word, hey, no matter how they lie. God's word will stand against the raging tide, opposing the criticize.
The preacher got up and said, stand to your feet. We'll start with a prayer. If you have a need, let it be heard, saints, let it be known. We're all family, and you're not alone. But that's when he saw her in the back of the church. Her silence and sadness cried out the hurt. The kind shepherd knew just what to say. I need to know before we pray. An unspoken request.
Does anybody have one here tonight? Did you come with a burden you can't share? A need in your life?
Just lift up your hand
to the one who can give you rest.
Child, have no fear,
our God can hear
an unspoken request. Well, the preacher whispered as she raised her hand, sweet Holy Spirit, come by her and stand. When her tears started flowing, he had no doubt that in the throne room of heaven, her secret was out. An unspoken request.
Does anybody have one here tonight? Did you come with a burden you can't share? A need in your life?
Just lift up your
hand to the one who can give you rest.
Child, have no fear,
our God can hear
an unspoken request. Child, have no fear,
our God can hear
an unspoken request.
Amen, amen. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for gathering us today. And God, as I say on just about every broadcast, I thank you for making us a praying people. That is so rare, even in church ministries, that everything starts and ends and is bathed in prayer, Lord, that you would lead and guide, that you would rule and overrule, that you would order and reorder our steps, Lord, to get us in line with you. And God, we come before you today, and we lift up our prayers and our praise and our petitions unto you, Lord. And we're just glad, we're grateful that you saved us, that you give us a job to do. And Lord, we're so glad that you hear the prayers that we pray, and that we can come boldly before the throne of grace, crying, Abba, Father. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And Lord, we come to you in that name that is above every name, that is above all names. And Lord, it is in Jesus Christ that you dwell and have your being. And he is the image of the invisible God, and that's you, Lord. And we just thank you for that. We thank you for your only begotten Son, and we commit this time of prayer and praise to you. I still don't have all the oxygen that I need to do the entire list of people that were praying for salvation. I'm still recovering from COVID. I'm about 98.1% there, almost there. But I still don't have the wind capacity to do two broadcasts in one day. So no Bible study tonight, but Lord willing, podcast tomorrow. And we'll go hard at it tomorrow. But please just keep me in your prayers that I can recover fully. And I don't think that I have long COVID. I think I just had COVID really, really bad. And God is good and God is faithful. And every day I feel my energy returning, my oxygen levels increasing. And I'm really hoping in another week or two tops, I can go back to the full schedule, but just keep me in your prayers for that, and I would really, really appreciate that. So we commit the 200-plus names that are on our list for salvation, and many of those are direct family members to everybody who's listening right now, and all the rest are loved ones and coworkers and just people that God has touched you to pray for. And Jeanette sends out the notes, and the whole prayer list is in all the notes that she sends out. So please lift up the names of these people and pray for these people. It's funny, I said 200 names. No, it's probably closer to 250 because there's 130 entries, and entry number 124 includes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. So entry number 124 includes prayers for 16 lost people. So it's probably closer to 300 names. And truth be told, I mean, maybe we've reached the point where we can't lift up every name. But I'll pray about that the Lord will give me wisdom. But when you get that prayer list, and if you're not on that list, reach out to Jeanette, and she will put you on the prayer list. And please pray for the lost souls. Kevin Swift is battling a rare blood cancer, and it stems from having had COVID-19, so please keep him in your prayers. Harmon's son Michael is battling pancreatic cancer. Catherine B., she's in the chat room, and she sends me encouraging letters, and I just want to let her know that I read every letter that everybody sends to me, and I have saved 99.9% of them in a big pile in the drawer that's right behind me. And those letters are so encouraging, and I really appreciate every one of those letters. And Catherine B. writes to me on a regular basis, and I really I appreciate her encouragement, and all the much more so when you realize that Catherine has been struggling with a whole slew of different medical issues, including dialysis and problems with heart stents and heart issues. So please keep Catherine B. in your prayers. Pam is battling glaucoma. She needs our prayer. Katrina has breast cancer. Chloe's dad has leukemia. Roz needs a healing from asthma and scoliosis. We're still praying for Anetta. I was talking with my daughter Kelsey just yesterday. We are praying for Anetta to be healed fully from the stroke that she had last May. Natalie's husband Ken needs a healing from esophageal cancer. Roz is asking prayer for daughter-in-law with stage 3 cervical cancer. Clayton Perry is receiving ongoing cancer treatments, and he needs prayer. Robert Wiley battling ALS. Dina's mom, Marcy, battling colon cancer. And Virginia's mom, she needs a healing from a broken wrist. Rob Beatty has colon cancer, and we're praying for him. Patty Rogalski is asking for prayers for her husband, Jerry. And we have been praying for him for quite some time. And keep Patty in your prayers as well. Craig Arford, he's battling pancreatic cancer. Cindy Kettlecamp is asking prayers for Heidi, who was diagnosed with lymphoma. And please pray for Cindy's daughter, Brooke, as well. Aaron Riddle's sister, Tracy, has cancer. Please pray for, she says, hopefully a cure or remission. Sarah Shine is asking prayer for her three children, Nicole, Sherry, and Scott, and prayers for herself as she battles health issues as well. Maddie Luck is battling Lewy body dementia, and please keep that in your prayers. Wyatt, 10 years old, woke up with huge lumps under his arm, possible lymphoma. And if anybody has an update on Wyatt, please let us know about that. Anna Galvez, daughter-in-law, my son's wife, is in stage radiotherapy from stage 3 cervical cancer. Rebecca Lynn is asking prayers for a dear friend, Joel Smith, who had a stroke and is not saved. David has pancreatic cancer and going through chemotherapy, and we're praying for healing and recovery. Deborah Shular, she's battling a parasite that she got in the ocean last December. Julie Baird has just been diagnosed with diabetes and wants to be put on the prayer list, and we're happy to do that. Charlton's wife, Debbie, on March 20th, that is 15 days from today, and she is having eye surgery, and she has other complications. So please pray for Debbie and for Charlton, that God would just lead them and guide them. Marriages and family restoration that we're praying for. Steph and Andy, Angela and Jeff, Bianca and Derek, Morris and Gift in Uganda, Jan Lacker and her husband, and Cassandra would like prayers for her husband. She says he is not saved. He's angry and damaged. Please pray that he will heal through God's mercy. And Stacy in Texas is praying for her husband to get saved. Amen. We have ladies that are expecting. Elena Blackburn is expecting around July 11th. Kelsey Emerson, that's my daughter, is expected around July 22nd. Erin Riddle is asking for a healthy pregnancy. Gary Tatterson's daughter, Kayla, is expecting twins around June 14th. Kathy Giacomino, I like to say Giacomino. I hope that's all right. But Kathy is praying that these family members would get, who are saved, would get on fire for God. Tammy, Pedro, Parker, Caden, Stephanie, Steve, Owen, and Ian. Lori Cordes is praying for Kevin, who is wheelchair bound, that he would be able to walk again. Amen. Chona's mom, Erlinda, has low potassium problems. Her aunt has been bedridden from a stroke, and her father is battling an illness. Penny would like prayers for healing from the beginning stages of dementia. Feely would like prayers for her kids. They are saved, but they're not living for the Lord. Brooke Kettlecamp has ongoing special needs. Carrie is asking prayer for her husband, Jerry, possible dementia. Jackie Heyman would like prayer that she be able to gain regain custody of her son. James Pickett is battling long COVID, and it has zapped his energy, and he has a number of other issues as well, so please keep James Pickett in your prayers. Brenda would like prayer for Paul, Daniel, and Bunny for God to open their eyes. Virginia's mom, Beatrice, took a fall, broke her wrist, and may need surgery. Please keep Beatrice in your prayers. Jill Puckett needs prayer. She's losing her vision. Aunt Nancy, please continue to pray for Brandon and Michelle for salvation. Scott says, please pray for my wife, Brandy. She has an eye infection in both eyes. Cam Awaiting says, praying for unsaved family members. Amen. Mitch says, please pray for my Aunt Kathleen, for her health, and for her salvation. Also, our daughters, Rachel, Hannah, and Naomi, they need to get saved. Mike Hensel, please pray for my mom. She has lung cancer. Jill Hall says, time-sensitive prayer request that God would do a work in my husband's heart. I think Jeanette needs to put Jill Hall and her husband on the list of marriages that we're praying for. But Jill says, please pray that the Lord would do a work in my husband's heart so that he could attend the camp meeting with me. Amen. Dan from Norway, please add my mother Ellen to the prayer list. And she is on the list. She has severe arthritis. She found Jesus again thanks to this program. Amen. So please remember that in your prayers. Feely says, please pray for my tonsillitis. Mayambala Erdine Christian helps with an orphanage in Uganda for 62 orphans. They need help with the food because she has run out. If Erad is in the chat room today, somebody find out if Erad can connect with Mayambala Christian. Jasmine, she needs prayer to recover from shingles. And please pray for Leslie. She's had some financial issues and some financial problems. And please pray that the Lord would get in the middle of that situation. It's a lot of money. It's about $900,000. And please pray that God would just rule and overrule in that situation and that the bulk of that money would be returned to her. And the Lord knows all about that. And we commit that to God. I mean, that's almost $1 million that we're talking about. So please pray that God would give Leslie clarity of thought and to really get her attention and to solve that problem for her. And she would very much appreciate your prayers. People with the unspoken prayer list. That was not good English, but Kate needs prayer concerning her housing situation, and she has an unspoken prayer. The La Piana family has an unspoken prayer request. Chris Hart has a time-sensitive unspoken prayer request. Adrian P. Breda, Amanda and Mike, Jeanette, they all have unspoken prayer requests. My friend Dave Maltman and his girlfriend Jill recently began a nursing home ministry up with Kinnelon Baptist Church. And please keep that church and their ministry, the nursing home ministry, in your prayers. Also, Dave's girlfriend Jill is having heart surgery. And please pray for that it would go well. Remember our overseas pastors in the Philippines, Pastor John Ree, Danny, and Arnell, Pastor Pho John in Vietnam, Luann, who is an American missionary who ministers to Muslims in Turkey, Pastor David Mark in India, Stephen McCarroll with the Gospel Bus Ministry in the UK, Erad Bairu Mumishu in Uganda for his Good Child Missions, Xavier, as he distributes multi-language tracts to three cities in Spain. Those cities are Zaragoza, Valencia, and Turval. And please remember our Bibles Behind Bars program. We are getting ready to greatly expand. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? We're at 120,000 Bibles, New Testaments, and Scripture portions. We're passing that number, 120,000. But we have some things that are working behind the scenes that's going to take that program to a whole new level. So I need you to pray about that. I need you to prayerfully consider donating to the Bibles Behind Bars program, because we, God is getting ready to take things to the next level. And when I say that we are going to greatly expand what we're doing, when you hear about it, you're going to see that that is not hyperbole or exaggeration. God is he's getting ready to kick us up to the next level. So please pray about that as well. Remember our street preachers, Kentucky Jeffrey in Ohio, Kyle and Reagan in Baton Rouge. Up in Canada, we have Werner Bukes, Paul and Peggy Caulfield, Adrian P. Breda, Jeffrey Sapasinik, and Greg Scott up in Canada. In Australia, we have Henry Biggs, and he reached out to me today. What did he say? Henry Biggs said this. He said, can you please add my wife Jasmine to the prayer list for recovery from shingles? And she has been on the list, brother, for the past couple of weeks. And if you could give us an update, that would be great. But remember Henry Biggs and Jennifer Thompson in Australia. Joseph Russiello has a street preaching ministry in Eagle Pass, Texas. Mike Abram is a trucker who leaves Bibles at truck stops. Mia is asking prayers for street preacher Jay, who preaches to the LGBTQ community. And Justin Dobrovolsky, he's Night Watch Audist in the chat room, and his friend Tom Fennessy. Please pray for our street preaching ministry up in Canada. Amen. Let's see what we have. So that's the list. Now, prayers that were put into the chat room this morning. Kyle Gorzel, update on Uncle David. He successfully completed 3 rounds of chemotherapy and now has 3 rounds to go. Definitely has some rough days and some good days. But we're praying that God would do a great work in that family. Amen. Rapture 57, she has a praise report. My emergency prayer request from Friday was resolved quickly, and thankfully for everybody involved, God is good all the time. Amen. And thank you again, my NTEB family. Happy to do it. Jill, M translated to light in the chat room. This morning, my mom had a confrontation with my sister about her attitude and unforgiveness. My mom's heart is broken, but she did the right thing. Truth is hard to hear. My sister lashed out with horrible words. Pray for my mom. She is listening with me this morning. And truth is hard to hear. And sometimes you have to have a hard confrontation with a loved one. But God will work and move and take those broken pieces and make something beautiful out of it. And I have had those moments with family members. I have had those moments with my own children. And they're very hard to go to, through. And you don't want to do it. But sometimes you have to. So Jill says, please pray for my mom and my sister today. Teresa says, good afternoon, beloved church brothers and sisters. She says, Jeffrey, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for your wisdom, understanding, and guidance, and for the teaching that you give. God bless you and your family. Thank you. And she says, please pray for my 3 sons and family and everybody in the Muto family. Thank you, and God bless you all. Matthew Emaw, he heads up the Ark Baptist School over in St. Augustine. Please pray for my wife, Amanda. She's having health issues and will be in the hospital for a day or two. And we'll be happy to pray for your wife. Regina Danner, Joy is a believer and is very sick again. She just had surgery. Please pray for her healing. Blaine, prayer request. I was going to see if I can get my prayers again for affordable housing. I was thinking I might have to wait till the middle of May, but perhaps it could be sooner in God's perfect timing. Amen, brother. We have been praying about this for you for quite some time, and we're going to pray you all the way in to exactly where God wants you to be. Regina Danner. Sondra was going forward. Now she's going backwards. She's lost and needs to get saved. Linda, my beloved brother-in-law is dying, but he's saved. Please pray for an easy passing to his Savior. Amen. Dustin, unspoken prayer for me and my health, family, salvation, and patience on Flight 777. Irad Bairumumishu, praise report. My active car campaign is 30% funded in just a month. And if you haven't donated to his fundraiser to get a new car, not a new car, a car. And he says that that is, it's vital to his ministry. And if God puts on your heart to donate, Jeanette will put a link into the chat room for Erad's fundraiser. Many of us have already donated. And if God touches you to do that, you can feel free to do that. And we are praying that he will get 100% of what he needs. Terry Bryant, please pray for my children, Jillian and Aaron. I want us to be closer now than ever before. Heath, thank Jesus for what he did for me, how he walked the earth and never sinned blows my mind, and what he did at the cross is amazing. Amen. That's why we sing Amazing Grace, because it really is amazing. Kenny B. says, have an unspoken prayer request. Please pray for friends and family to be saved, especially Azkaria, Ellie, Lena, and Sprinkles. And please pray for my battles with the flesh. Renee says, please pray that I would be back to my previous position. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we ask you, Lord, to work and move as only you can, to hear these prayers for healing and restoration and for reconciliation and for finances and for boldness in ministry and for witnessing and just every possible thing, Lord. A lot of people need to be healed. A lot of people need to be restored. Hundreds need to be saved. And Father God, I ask you, we ask you to work and move and to get in the middle of all of these prayers and praises to get something done for your glory, for our good. And we ask you to hear our prayer, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll be right back with today's message. And if you're just tuning in, today's message is a timely one. You want revival? God gives revival. But you got to do something really important, if you want true Holy Spirit revival. And we'll be back with today's message right after this. Don't go away.
My fears really
Heavenly Father, be with me as I preach and teach your word today. And Lord, we just pray that if there's one listening who is lost today, that something would be said and done to lead a lost soul to you. And we pray that for the people who are saved, that are listening, if there's one who is a lukewarm Laodicean today, that something would be said and done to set that soul on fire to bear fruit, more fruit and much fruit for your kingdom. And we commit this time to you, and give me power to preach and teach in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today's topic is a topic that I am extremely passionate about, and it could not be more timely than what you're looking at in the headlines all day, every day. People are talking about the Asbury Awakening, Revival, Outpouring, whatever you want to call it. The Jesus Revolution movie is number 3 at the box office, and it's done over $20 million. If that thing has parts of it that are preaching and teaching the gospel of the grace of God, then I praise God for that. But believe me when I tell you that there is a mixed message, to say the least, that is being presented with this Asbury Revival, the Jesus movie, the He Gets Us TV commercials, and all these different things. There is absolutely a mixed message that is taking place. So today, we are going to spend a little time in our King James Bibles, and we are going to clarify and clear up some of the confusion that people have about revival. Now, obviously, you can hold a church service, you can hold gospel meetings, but if the Holy Spirit doesn't show up and revive the people, you're not going to have biblical revival. Now, the question is what's happening with the Asbury Revival, is that real biblical revival? And so today, I would like to answer that question in my message entitled, If You Want Holy Spirit Revival, the Preaching of God's Word Must Be the Main Focus. And so we're going to answer that question indirectly. I'm not really so much concerned with the Asbury Revival as I am with the larger question, where does true Holy Spirit revival come from? And the Bible says that the Word of God is the thing that must be preached. If you look at the Last Supper, John chapter 13 through John 18, and in John chapter 13, Judas is revealed as the betrayer. He is the man of sin who becomes the son of perdition when he dips the sop with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes down and out, and the 11 disciples stay up in the air in the upper room with Jesus Christ in a beautiful type of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And then, for the next five chapters of the book of John, chapters 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18, Jesus preaches, he teaches, and then he prays for the disciples, he prays over the disciples, and he prays to his heavenly Father, and wraps the whole thing up. And then in Matthew and Mark, we read, when that was done, they went out and they sang in hymn. So the Gospel of John shows us that you have five chapters of preaching and teaching, concluding in prayer, and then they sang one song. Now, am I saying that you should only have one song at a church meeting? Of course not. I mean, we've already played about eight or nine songs already. And there's nothing wrong with playing songs. There's nothing wrong with using musical instruments. All of that brings glory to God. But if you're going to go by the biblical proportions, in John, you have five chapters of preaching, teaching, and then praying, and then you sing. So what does that show you? That shows you that if you're going to have a church service, if you're going to have meetings that you hope are going to be revival meetings, then the preaching and teaching of the Word of God has to take the preeminence. It has to have the preeminent position. So turn to, let's set the table for my message. Romans chapter 16, let's turn there. Romans chapter 16, and Paul says this in verses 25 through 27. Romans 16, 25 through 27. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, that's Romans to Philemon, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So Paul says that God is going to establish you according to his gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, that God is going to establish you according to Paul's gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Now, turn to Acts chapter 28. Turn to the book of Acts. This is the Acts of the Apostles. It's not the Acts of the church. You cannot replicate the book of Acts and put that on the church. Because the book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. It's not the Acts of the believers. And if you want to do a lot of the things that the book of Acts shows you, the signs, the miracles, the wonders, the healing, the raising of the dead, you got to be an apostle. And we talk about those things in our weekly Bible studies. Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concerned the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding. So the first thing that I showed you is that Paul says God will establish you according to my gospel and through preaching of Paul's gospel. That's step number one. Step number two, what did Paul preach? He preached the kingdom of God. Now, how do you get into the kingdom of God? How do you gain entrance into the kingdom of God? Well, John, in chapter 3, verse 5, he has the answer. John 3, 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Matthew, Mark, and Luke is in one category. John's gospel is in another category. Why do we put John's gospel into another category? Because John's gospel contains much of what the Apostle Paul preached and taught. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, not so much. But the Apostle Paul preached and taught the kingdom of God. John says that if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, you have to become born again. Now, there are some hyper-dispensationalists that will try to talk you out of your salvation, that will try and tell you that being born again is only for the Jews because Jesus was saying this to Nicodemus. That is ridiculous. That is nonsense. Jesus says in John chapter 3 that if you want to see the kingdom of God, which is the spiritual kingdom, and obviously you cannot see a spiritual kingdom with your physical eyes, if you want to see the kingdom of God and if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, then you must become born again. And the Apostle Paul says, and I've already given you the verses, Paul says in Acts 28 that he preached the kingdom of God. Verses 23 and 24, I haven't given you these verses, Acts 23 and 24, "And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him in his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things that were spoken, and some believed not." So, the first thing, if you want to have revival, you got to have the preaching of Paul's gospel. And the second thing, if you want to have Holy Spirit revival, you got to have preaching and teaching of the gospel of the grace of God. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Paul says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again according to the Scriptures." Peter did not preach this gospel. Acts 2:38 is not 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. Peter was speaking to the nation of Israel. Paul is speaking to individuals. Peter was talking about the remission of sins. Paul is talking about being placed into the body of Christ. So Paul's gospel and Peter's gospel, while they have similarities, they absolutely are not the same. So if you want Holy Spirit revival, you got to have preaching of Paul's gospel. So if you look around at something that's being called revival, and it's primarily focused on things that took place in the book of Acts, that's not church age revival, because you cannot replicate the signs, miracles, and wonders. We call that the apostolic gifts. And turn to Mark chapter 16, and I'm almost ready to get into my message. My message is not going to be long today. It's going to be an appeal to exactly what we're talking about today. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. Now, people get mad when I say that signs, miracles, and wonders are not for the church age. The knee-jerk response is always, so you're saying that God doesn't do miracles. I am not saying that God doesn't do miracles. God does miracles in every dispensation. God has done numerous miracles in my own life that I testify to from time to time. But God absolutely does miracles. But he's not raising people from... Well, let me read to you Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, the gospel that Jesus was talking about is the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, not the gospel of the kingdom of God. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, how do I know that these signs are not for the church age? Now, you could do something like having an exorcism. There's a pastor in Tennessee, Pastor Greg Locke, who used to be a King James only Baptist preacher, who has become a fire-breathing charismatic. And he has church services where he's accusing people of being witches and performing exorcisms from the altar. And that has caused thousands of people to flock to his church to see the freak show that he's putting on. And I do call it a freak show because that is not dispensationally correct. But you can, if you want to get up in front of a crowd and you want to have an exorcism like the Roman Catholics do. I said like the Roman Catholics do. And now you know where Greg Locke gets his power from. Now you know where Greg Locke, who he's associated with. All roads lead to Rome, as the old saying goes. You better get off that highway. You better get off that highway. Anyway, I digress. You can have a church service where you're pretending to cast out demons from people, and you can have a church service where you're pretending to have exorcisms like the Roman Catholics do, but that may or may not be what's actually happening. Now, the second sign, you can speak with new tongues. You can hostile ashantai, antai, a bow tie. I played that clip many times of Kenneth Copeland and Rodney Howard Brown having a speaking in tongues battle. And how ridiculous is that, right? You can do that if you want. And you can say that that's biblical. But what does that sound like? You tell me if this sounds like the gospel that the Apostle Paul preached.
I mean, what other people think. No. Doesn't matter what they think. Ooh, no more di esta pacalia, no. Oh, le beftia pasodopre. In a mamba no mogo lombon jemba. Me ne mombo ribia casti a telososo.
All right, that's enough out of you, Kenneth Copeland and Rodney Howard Brown. But why did I just play that clip? So you can hear what it sounds like when people attempt to take the apostolic signs and they attempt to fulfill Mark 16:17 in the church age. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like a couple of braying jackasses. That's what it sounds like. But Mark chapter 16 says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, Greg Locke. They shall speak with new tongues, Rodney Howard Brown, Kenneth Copeland. They shall take up serpents. How many pastors in places like Alabama, in the backwoods, those little country churches, how many of those pastors have died? I don't have the audio clip in front of me, but a couple of months ago, I heard this guy saying, my grandfather died by handling snakes, and my father died handling snakes, and I'm now the pastor in their church, and when I die, I'm going to die handling snakes. But that's not what Mark 16:18 is talking about. Mark 16:18 says, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. If you had the apostolic signs, you could handle deadly snakes and you could drink poison. And you wouldn't die like the pastors in the backwoods of Alabama. They all die. And then the last sign, Mark 16:18, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I was listening to, what is his name, over at Bethel Church. Bill Johnson over at Bethel Church. And for years, Bill Johnson preached that born-again believers don't need to pray for a healing, that you just need to receive it and claim it, and you will have the healing. And then his wife got sick with cancer. And then all of a sudden, overnight, Bill Johnson changed his doctrine. And he went from teaching the false gospel of claiming your healing to, please pray for my wife. And sadly, his wife died. Now, if Mark 16 was for the church age, he would have been able, with the elders of the church, to lay hands on his wife and have her recover. But she didn't recover, because Mark 16:18 is not for the church age. You pray, if God will, please heal my loved one. Heal my loved one. And I see a couple of questions in the chat room. Rachel K says, won't the 144,000 be able to do those things? Absolutely. The 144,000 are going to fulfill the Great Commission. Our commission comes from the Apostle Paul, and that's the bulk of my message, so I don't want to get ahead of myself. Jeanette says, wasn't the reason for their protection from poison and snakes so that they could build the church? That's right, so that they could show the people that they had the blessing of God. But that is going to reach its complete fulfillment with the 144,000 and the Jewish remnant during the time of Jacob's trouble. So, with that, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I have a very short message today on how to have Holy Spirit revival. 2 Timothy 4, 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Paul is talking to Timothy. Timothy is a type of the church. Timothy does not have the apostolic signs. Paul has the apostolic signs. Timothy does not. And Paul is talking to Timothy, and he's giving him a charge. He's giving him a commandment. There is something that Paul wants Timothy to do. Verse 2 tells you what that is. Paul says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Now, when Billy Sunday had revival with the Holy Spirit, Billy Sunday was preaching the word. He was reproving, rebuking, and exhorting. Billy Graham, in the first 8 years of his ministry, he had Holy Spirit revival because he preached the word. And in the very beginning, he preached the word from a King James Bible. D.L. Moody experienced revival. Charles Spurgeon experienced revival. George Whitfield, Robert Sheffy, and there were many great men of God from the time of 1611 all the way up to the very beginning of the 20th century who experienced Holy Spirit revival. But the way that they experienced that is they called people together and they had a meeting. And when they had the people together, they sang a couple of songs, they opened up in prayer, and then what did they do? They preached the preserved word of God from a King James Bible. They were instant in season, out of season, and they reproved, they rebuked, and they exhorted the people with all long suffering and doctrine. So, if you ask me, is the Asbury revival Holy Spirit revival? My answer to you is, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, maybe it's too early to tell, but do you have preaching and teaching from the Word of God? Do you have preaching and teaching from the King James Bible? Are the people who are doing the preaching and teaching from the Word of God, are they reproving, rebuking, and exhorting with all long suffering and doctrine? Well, the answer to that is no. Every time, there is still a live stream on YouTube for the Asbury Revival, and I check in multiple times per day on the live stream of what they call the revival. And there is never, ever Bible teaching, Bible preaching. So if that's actually happening, it's only happening for a couple of minutes and then hours and hours and hours of endless singing and hand-holding and repetitive choruses. So by the definition of the Bible, the Asbury Revival is not Holy Spirit revival, because there's not an emphasis made on preaching and teaching the Word of God. There's no doctrine. Paul says in verse 3 of 2 Timothy 4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." And Paul tells Timothy, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." So the apostle Paul, he's our apostle for the church age. The apostle Paul preached the kingdom of God, that you have to be born again to enter this kingdom. You have to be born again to enter into the body of Christ. And if you're going to have a meeting with people, if you want that meeting to turn into revival, You have to preach the word, and you have to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering, and you have to use Bible doctrine to do it. Now, I haven't seen any Bible doctrine at any point from the Asbury Revival. Now, if you watch the Jesus Revolution movie, there are sections of that movie that appear to be giving you Bible doctrine, but it is mixed in with a whole lot of charismatic emotions and feelings and all that music. Well, look, the main song from the Jesus Revolution movie is Listen to the Music by the Doobie Brothers. Listen to the Music by a group of people that name their band after a joint, a marijuana cigarette, if you will. So when I look at these things, I don't compare what's happening to my opinion. I compare what's happening and what I see to what the Bible says revival looks like. Jesus says in John 16 that he is going to send another comforter. Turn to John 16. And this is what it looks like when the Holy Spirit shows up. John chapter 16. Let's start reading in verse 5. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Verse 13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Now, let me give you one more scripture, 2 minutes, and I'm done. Jesus says this, talking about his word, talking about the Bible. John 17. John 17. Verses 13 through 17. John 17, verses 13 through 17. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the word hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You want to have Holy Spirit revival? You better have Paul's preaching, Paul's gospel, Paul's doctrine. You better have it. You better have the Word of God, not songs, not music, not singing. If you want to have a meeting and you want it to turn into Holy Spirit revival, that Holy Spirit revival better be based on the Word of God. You better have a King James Bible, and you better have Paul's gospel, Paul's teaching, and Paul's doctrine. Romans to Philemon. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says, this is how people get saved. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom he also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Not choruses, not Hillsong music, not Bethel music, not hours and hours and hours of just repetitive singing. Paul says, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, if you want your meeting to turn into Holy Spirit revival, you got to have everything that I just gave you. Now, when these things happen, these things can greatly affect your feelings. You can be at revival and you can be just soaking the ground with your tears. You can be praying and kneeling at the altar, repenting and confessing to God. And yes, all those things are part of revival. But revival doesn't come from emotion and feelings. Revival does not come from, hey, there's 500 people singing, let's go join them and we're going to catch that excitement. We're going to catch that, we're going to catch the feeling of unity. That's not Holy Spirit revival. Jesus said, Father, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Sanctify them. Hold on one second. Sanctify them. John 17:17. I just had it and it just went right out of my head. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So that's what you need to have if you want to have Holy Spirit revival. If you have a King James Bible, if you're born again, if you're saved, and you read your Bible on a regular basis, you can look at anything that claims to be a movement of God, and you'll know right away. If you know your Bible, you don't need me to tell you is the Asbury revival from the Holy Spirit. If you have a King James Bible, if you're saved, you have the same discernment I have. You have the same Bible I have. You don't need me to tell you, is the Asbury revival a work of God or a work of man? Now, can God take a work of man and use it to save people? He sure can. Can God take a work of man and use it to stir saved people to get on fire for him? He absolutely can. Are there people at the Asbury revival who are legitimately getting saved? Of course there is. Are there people at the Asbury revival who are legitimately getting on fire for God? Sure. But that doesn't mean that the Asbury revival is Holy Spirit revival. It's not hard to figure out when you have a King James Bible. That's the key that unlocks just about everything. Every question that you'll ever have in life can be answered by, are you saved and do you have a copy of the Word of God? If you can answer yes to both those questions, there's really not much in this life that is going to remain a puzzle to you. Because Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. And we pray that if there be some listening today who are lost, that don't know you, that something would be said that would lead that lost soul to you. And we pray, Lord, for those of us that are saved, that are listening today, that something would be said and has been said that will stir that soul to get on fire for you. And we say all these things, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in today. Thank you for being part of the NTEB Global Family of Bible Believers across America and around the world. Lord willing, we're going to see you back here tomorrow at noon Eastern time for another Prophecy News podcast. Have a great rest of your weekend, everybody.
John only out of Patmos, all the things he saw. Four horsemen they were riding to bring the wrath of God. The winepress of the nations in judgment bringing pain. You think you've seen the worst down here, it's gonna change. God's holy lamb in power, his vesture dipped in blood. He's coming with the robe in white, those who've overcome. They'll cry for rocks and mountains to fall and hide their face. But that won't stop the plan of God. It's gonna change. It's gonna change. It's coming from above. The King of Kings is coming back and the devil's on the run. Where will you be when the world has turned the page? Get your house in order now. It's gonna change. We're living in the last days, of this we have no doubt. As evil days grow worse and worse, we're listening for the shout. Oh, with great anticipation and joy we can't contain, we're ready for our moving day. It's gonna change. It's gonna change. It's coming from above. The King of Kings is coming back and the devil's on the run. Where will you be when the world has turned the page? Get your house in order now. It's gonna change. It's gonna change. It's coming from above. The King of Kings is coming back and the devil's on the run. Where will you be when the world has turned the page? Get your house in order now. It's gonna change. Oh, it's gonna change.
Amen, amen. Well, I am back. We are not done with today's Sunday service. I got so deeply into the message, and I was just, my brain was just filled with my message today. And I'm still battling a little bit of COVID fog, so you have to forgive me on that. We are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper as a church family, and I see that there's still just about everybody in the chat room. One more song. Let's set the table and let's get our hearts and minds thinking on the Lord's Supper and his great sacrifice. And he said, "This is my body broken for you." And let's think about what that means. This song from my daughter will help you to get your heart and your mind focused on that.
Thou my best thought by day. treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still
the Bible says in Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 30, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body." I remember growing up as a young Catholic, and we were taught that that bread, when the priest blessed it, it somehow magically became, they call it the doctrine, the Catholic doctrine of transubstantiation. And I was taught as a young Catholic that that wafer was not a piece of bread, but when the priest prayed over it, it became the physical body of Jesus Christ. That's what I was taught as a Catholic. But his body is not bread. It's like bread, but it's not bread. "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Now, I was also taught that the wine in that cup, and that's one of the things that led me to become an alcoholic, drinking wine as a 10-year-old kid, I was taught that the wine, the alcoholic wine in that cup, when the priest prayed over it, became the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we were sold a false gospel. We didn't have to become born again. You want to become part of the body of Christ? Just eat it. You want the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you? Just drink from this cup. And what we were taught was not the truth. We were taught a lie. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and if you have your bread and grape juice, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. You are the bread of life. We thank you for this bread, Father God, this wafer in our hands, this token, this symbol of what you did on the cross, Lord. Thank you for being our bread and being our bread of life. And most of all, Father God, we thank you for the great sacrifice that you made on the cross. You took our sins upon you, and you became broken on the cross. And we just thank you and we praise you for that, God. In Jesus' name, amen. After the supper, after the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blood. We thank you for that shed blood. Acts 20:28 says that it's God's blood. And we thank you, Father God, for that shed blood. And Lord, we're just so glad and so grateful that you made that payment for us. And when we receive that payment by faith, we are set free. And Father God, we thank you for the bread. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for your great sacrifice and for your great salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for reminding me about that. Thank you. I'm still dealing with this COVID fog, but I'm so glad that I saw the message from many of you, and we didn't miss that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Again, Lord willing, we'll see you back here tomorrow, noon Eastern time, for another Prophecy News podcast. Have a great rest of your weekend, everybody.
I got to move on. Can y'all help me go down to the country for a minute? Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for my journey. Oh, you brought me from a mighty long way. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for my journey. Lord, you brought me from a mighty long way. Come on, you're helping. Oh, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for my journey. Oh, you brought me from a mighty long way. Lord, I thank you. Yeah. Lord, I thank you for my journey. Lord, you brought me. Lord, you brought me over hills and mountains. Lord, you brought me a mighty long way. Lord, you brought me over hills and mountains. Lord, you brought me. Cry sometime, but you brought, Lord, you brought me a mighty long way. I had to cry sometime, but you brought, Lord, you brought me. Sometimes, but you.